Today on Real Radio.
I can't imagine the shock when this letter arrived to the church at Ephesus. Did they weep? Did they fast? Did they fall on their faces? What would we do? Are we sitting here right now? Come on, Pastor, you got about, in my estimation, 7 to 10 minutes left. Can you put a sock in it and move on, please? No, where are you in this? I'm never coming back to this church again. This message is driving me crazy. You know what? You may never come back here again, but may you always hear in your ears Jesus saying, where are you? Are you with me or not?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Letters to the Seven Churches. You see, these are the letters that the risen Messiah dictated to the Apostle John while he was exiled on an island in the Mediterranean. We continue to take a close look at the first seven verses of chapter 2. This is the very first of the seven letters, and is to the church at Ephesus. Jesus had quite a few good things to say about the church, but with an important footnote at the end. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Are you doing it for Jesus? Are you doing it unto Him? Is that your heart's desire? He says of them, I know that you have labored, that you have worked, that you've persevered, that you've endured this, and you're not giving up. That is, when you start out on your thing, if you're going to be a greeter, if you're going to be a parking lot attendant, if you're going to deal with the traffic or whatever you're going to be doing, man, you do it. And so I don't want to park there. Well, you know what? Hey, whatever. You know, you want to park here, park there. Don't let them pull you down. Well, why is my donut only that big? He got the bigger donut. You want a donut? I'll give you a... No. You know what? Don't take that personal. You're doing it to Jesus. Are you in love with Him? Do it for Him. Are you going to be one of the people? And we always need people to work behind sign-up booths and things like that and to take registrations. Well, you know, I think you spelled my name wrong there. I'm sorry. How would I spell your name? And don't get your feelings hurt if somebody said, well, you know, you pronounced my name wrong. Charles Spurgeon said, we need to be as Christians having this kind of a heart, like a dove. Skin, he said, like a rhino. Think about it. That's wise. We need to have rhino skin as believers, but a heart like a dove. Endure. Keep going. What a great church. You see why this church would have been like nominated for number one? What a tremendous church. I wish I personally was like this church. He says what looks like a repeat, but it's not. It's a different Greek word. I know that you have labored for my name's sake. Number nine. That's number nine. To plod. To plod along. P-L-O-D. Plod. To keep moving forward, to keep going toward a destination. Even if you're going forward by an inch, you're still going forward. You've labored for my name's sake. The reason why you keep going is because, church at Ephesus, you know why you're doing what you're doing. Isn't that great? What a wonderful church this is here. They knew what they were doing and why. That was number nine. Number 10, he says, I know you have not become weary. That word means, in the original Greek language, they never lost sight of the fact of why they were doing what they were doing. They knew that it was for Jesus Christ and His glory. And when they were exhausted, when people were criticizing, when they continued long at it, you know what? They didn't become weary. What a tremendous church. 10 wonderful, commendable characteristics of what would be desirable in any church. This church had listened well. Point number 3 is found in verse 4. Hang on to your seats. I've saved this part for us to dwell on. And what kind of a church are we in verse 4? We're asking this question. Are we very much in love with Jesus Christ? You know what? I got to tell you, in our morning prayer time before this service began, as we were praying, I had to confess before my brothers, after doing this study, I do not know how much I love Jesus Christ. When I said, Jesus, I want to tell you that I love you. Normally I do. Jesus, I love you. After studying this, you know what? It's embarrassing. I was embarrassed to say, I love you, Lord. Because after looking at this, I wonder how much I really love him. I put myself up against these 10 characteristics of this tremendous church. And then as I look at that, I'm whittled down. And I say, oh, God, help me. But I still want to stand up and say, I love you, Lord. And then I have to evaluate myself. Have I become weary? Am I laboring for his name's sake? Am I enduring? Am I persevering? Am I defending the church the way that I ought to be defended against false teachers? Am I defending this church against false doctrine? Am I patient? Am I laboring? Do I have works that are worthy of his holy name? What kind of a church am I? Am I very much in love with Jesus Christ? Verse 4, Jesus tells me, nevertheless, I have, and note it in your Bible, nevertheless, I have what? Yeah, is it italicized in your Bible, this? It should be italicized. It's not there in the original language. Some of your scriptures have another word in there. It's not there in the original Greek scripture. Jesus says, nevertheless, I against you. You know what it means? It means you got 99% on your scorecard, church. Unfortunately, as wonderful as all that is, it's nothing but clanging cymbals, wood, hand, stubble. I against you. I can't imagine the shock when this letter arrived to the church at Ephesus. Did they weep? Did they fast? Did they fall on their faces? What would we do? Are we sitting here right now? Come on, Pastor, you got about, in my estimation, 7 to 10 minutes left. Can you put a sock in it and move on, please? No, where are you in this? I'm never coming back to this church again. This message is driving me crazy. You know what? You may never come back here again, but may you always hear in your ears Jesus saying, where are you? Are you with me or not? Are you so passionately in love with me because I am real, because I am your creator, because I am God Almighty, because that's true and I have saved you and redeemed you and given my son on the cross for you? Are you so hot in love with me that in light of all of the good deeds and the money you've given and the things that you've done, they are nothing? Because what comes first is your love for me, for you shall love the Lord your God first. That is the question to me. And do I love him? Well, verse 4 depends upon where our hearts are at. He says, nevertheless, I against you, that you've left your first love. The word left here, let me read it to you. It means to send it away. It means to forsake it, to lay it aside, even unintentionally. It means to omit it, to pass it by, or to go onward having not packed it. You ever left for a trip? Get on the freeway, you know, finally you're on the road. Oh man, you know, we forgot something. You know that feeling? We've driven 10 miles. I remember my wife, when she was a kid, they were on vacation. She was the baby of 9 kids. They went on a vacation. And they went and got gasoline. They stopped for gasoline. Everybody got in the car, took off again. And they went some 20, 25 miles. They're driving along. They forgot one of their kids back at the gas station. Kids standing around waiting. You know, with 9 kids, you could forget people. You know, that's how it is. It's all the miles, you know. You drove 10 miles, you know. It's not to the 10th mile you remembered. It's the 9 miles that it was out of sight, out of mind. Man, do I love Jesus? When's the last time you asked God, do I really love you? Or have I left? Look, I'm serving the church. I'm pastor of the church. I could be preaching. I could be leading thousands to Christ. But have I left him? Look, I didn't lose him. It doesn't say you lose him. You left him. We have this lived out in the scriptures. You can look at it later. You know who's really good at leaving Jesus behind? And she's just like the church at Ephesus. Her name's Martha. Remember Martha? Always cooking, always cleaning, always busy. Wonderful woman. Her sister, Mary, sat around, did nothing. And to rub it in, Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Had to say it twice. She's so busy. Martha, Martha. Mary, your sister, has chosen the better thing to do. Man, I tell you, when you're busy and you're like this, come on, come on, let's go. We got to do this thing. And somebody says, hey, you know what? What you're doing ain't right. Oh, man, does that strike the nerve of pride? Oh, you're just sitting around doing nothing. Jesus says, excuse me. Her sitting around, it's the better thing to do. She loves me. She listens to the words that I say. Depends on where our hearts are at. We don't want to leave him. No human being on the planet then and now could have ever known what Jesus knows, both then and now, about us. He sees us with his x-ray eyes, so to speak. Perfect knowledge. 1 Samuel 16:7, the scripture says, a human being looks on the outward appearance, but it's the Lord who looks on the heart. I want to ask you this question. You answer it in the recesses of your own soul. Think about it. God knows the inside of our hearts. Well, how do you look like today? How do I look today? You say, well, you know what? You got a Hawaiian shirt on. Look like you lost 11 pounds in the last 2 weeks? Yes. Yeah, okay, fine. You look normal. Look like you always do. Well, you don't know what's going on the inside, do you? Do I have a tumor, cancer? Is my stomach empty? Is there a burger in there? You don't know. There ain't no way for you to know. You look good. What's going on the inside? You know who knows? God knows. God knows exactly what's in your tummy. He knows what's in your head. He knows the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. We can look one way on the outside. That's how we judge. Ooh, look at her. Look at him. God says, yes, let's look at the church at Ephesus. Their love was gone. It was missing for him. The Amplified Version of Revelation 2:4 says, what qualities, you have do not matter any longer, all because of this. What I have against you is that you do not love me now as you once did at the first. Ouch. We've left our first love. What is the first love? And we'll be done with this. What is the first love? I can tell you what it's not. It's not loving others. Church at Ephesus did that. Isn't that interesting? What's your first love? It's not loving the Bible. Church at Ephesus loved the Bible. It's not loving his return. The Bible speaks about if we love him, we'll love his coming. According to Jesus Christ, the first love is this. Having left those early days when Jesus and you, or Jesus and me, made the majority in our lives, when our awareness of him was in every conversation, remember? Every conversation we were involved in, his name came out somehow. We felt him in every situation. Our relationship with him was the most important thing in our lives. He was all that we talked about. We were reckless for him. Be it loud or be it soft, somehow we made it known. Be it leaving a track or going door to door for Christ, whatever it was. But we began to slow down in that area because we justifiably, every one of us got busy. Didn't we get busy? Things happen. I'm older now. What is that? I'm older now. I don't love God as much. I'm older now. That's what we're saying. I'm sorry. I'm older now. I'm not talking old in age. I'm talking old in experience. Well, listen here, sonny boy. I've been a Christian all my life, and I'm going to tell you. Then there's those people who have been Christians maybe, you know, for, say, 10 years or whatever, and they're in the same condition. They've left their first love. It's easy to do. Are we reckless for him? That's a searching thing. Many of us have become like Lazarus. We've been given a brand new life, but we're still wrapped in grave cloths and we can't do anything. And we don't do anything. That's why many of us love hanging around new Christians. They're so much fun. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says, don't be childish. The Bible says, become like a child. Jesus says, you and I will have to become like a child again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I thought about that. So Lord, I pray, you know, make me more like a child. Cause me to grow down instead of up. That Jesus, whatever you say, I cling and hang on to it just like a little child. Very quickly, we come to the remedy and we'll wrap this up. Verse 5, it matters what we do about it now, church. We can change everything right now. Jesus gives his diagnosis to heal them. Here's the cure. Number 5, or verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do your first works. Number 1, remember. Ever been in love? Did a wedding here last night, tremendous all. You should have seen the video of them. They're hugging and smooching and so cute. They're walking and it's all just perfect. They're in love, holding hands. And I noticed when they walked out, he got his tuxedo kind of hung up on one of the beautiful candle fixture thingies that were in the aisle. And she kept walking and he got kind of hooked up. He's kind of undoing it. And it's so cute because she walked a few steps and stopped. And she goes like this, come on. And I watched that from right here. We just watched it. How neat is that? Three years later, he or she's walking 25 feet in front of the other one. Honey, what? Love. You know when people are in love, he starts talking, she's looking at him. Then she starts talking, he's looking at her. You ever seen that happen? They're in love. He says something, she says, oh, isn't he wonderful? They're in love. God says, I want you to be like that with me again. We read the Bible, and then we say things like this, Jesus, you're wonderful. What do you want to do today? I just read that in the Bible right here, that they went throughout the regions of Galilee preaching. You want me to preach today, Jesus? What do you want me to do? I'll do anything you want to know. What do you want to do? So he could say back to you, I don't know. What are we going to do today? Hey, I got an idea. You go to work, be on time. And while you're there, if the opportunity is there for you to share me, I'll let you know. All right, let's go. All right, let's go. You drive all the way to work with Jesus. You're completely open and ready. And then you're going to know it, church. You'll know it. You know what I'm talking about for those of you who know what I'm talking about. It's the way that it is. You'll be working. It's not even in your mind. It's not even in your head. You're working. And then somebody walks in and says, man, I need to just pray about my life. Ding! Open door. Did you say pray? I pray. You want me to pray for you? Remember how crazy, exotic love is. Jesus says, remember? You know what? In marriage counseling, it's the same thing. He or she says, will you remember? Just remember how it used to be? Will you just do the same thing we did at the beginning? I don't need a house. I don't need a Porsche. I don't need a plane. I don't need a yacht. He says to her, just love me like you did in the beginning. Or she turns to him and says, just do the same. You were nice to me in the beginning. You opened the door for me in the beginning. Just go back to those simple things. Jesus says, just go back to those simple things. What simple things? Lord, I'll tithe more. That's not what he wants. All I have, Lord, unto thee, I give you my life. He said life, not wife. Here, Lord, take my wife. It's life. Life. I want your life. He wants our lives. Number 2, repent. Metanoia, repent. Change your mind. Don't neglect this anymore. Change the course that you're on. Change it. It's a willful thing. You have to want to do that. Lord, I repent. I'm changing my mind about this. I want to be in love with you again. Third thing is repeat. Go back and do the first works. Those first works. Listen. First works are these. Loving Jesus. Just loving on him. Like this. Love him like you did at the beginning because you can. You really can. You and I can. Not because we have to, we get to. And you say, well, I don't really feel like it. That's the cool thing about today. It doesn't matter how you and I feel. Isn't God good to us? It's not like a feeling and then you tip the scale up. No, listen, church, it's this. Do those love things. Go be with Jesus. Make a plan. Set your alarm early in the morning or tonight. Go take a walk. Look, it's going to be 102 degrees today. It's going to be 80 at the beach. Go down to the beach. Walk along the sand this evening. Watch the sun go down with Jesus. Do it. Make a date with him. Do it. Start going through the motions. Your heart will follow every time. Listen, pray to him again. Get on your face. Kneel. I mean kneel physically. Well, you don't have to. I know you don't have to kneel to pray. But get on your knees this time. Try it. Lay down flat. Get prone before God. Sing him a song. I don't sing. Sing. Do it. And watch what happens. Your heart kicks in. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. What? Obey him in his love. Go through the motions. Listen. Many times, a husband and wife, she doesn't feel like it, or he doesn't feel like it. If they don't feel like it, then there ain't no problem, is there? But if he feels like it and she doesn't feel like it, there's a problem. But because of love, listen, she goes through the motions. What happens? Her heart kicks in. And both are blessed. That's marriage, and you can reverse that. She feels like it, he doesn't feel like it. But because he loves her, he goes through the motions of love. The motions of love. What happens? The heart kicks in. When we worship God, I don't feel like worshiping God. Lift your hands. Sing the song. Know the words. Speak them to him. Close your eyes. Focus on him. You know what happens? Your heart. Something happens. Love kicks in. And I want to ask you, what kind of church are we? But this, he says, you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. We'll look at that in future studies, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. What kind of church are we? What kind of Christian am I?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series called Letters to the Seven Churches, speaking of what Jesus, the risen Messiah, dictated to John to be delivered to churches throughout modern-day Turkey. Now, if you'd like to hear this study once again, visit us at realradioactive.org. But better yet, this series called Letters to the Seven Churches is also available to you on CD. That way you won't miss a thing, being able to hear each complete presentation uncut whenever you'd like. This is for your gift of any amount, by the way. Just go to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us at area code 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And ask for the CD series, Letters to the Seven Churches. Finally, if you've made that decision to support Real Radio with Jack Hibbs and play a part in its continuation on the air, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you weren't able to catch all that contact information, just remember that it can easily be located on our website at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.